way of nonviolence. It's the only path to start the revolution of everlasting peace. Become a messiah, because the world is insane. It's no time to be passive. Take decisive action. Receive the new dispensation of universal priesthood, of the Pentecostal flame. No religious boundaries.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Realization of our oneness. Heal the separation by going out as sheep among wolves, treading on scorpions, filled with fiery light, working day and night to bring home the lost and broken, bring them back into the fold of the fullness of heaven, the kingdom within, by a mystical enlightenment, awakening in this new age. Be your own sage.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Don't fall back asleep. The time of now is crucial to spread the holy virus of God union, the bliss of God communion, and sweet samadhi. Don't forget nirvana, cosmic conscious for all, sons and daughters of the absolute, your one and true identity. Pray for your brothers and sisters, for the family of the Most High.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Can't live in a bubble. Come out of solitude and sow some seeds on fertile ground. Light the world on fire with the Holy Spirit. Some call it Shakti or the life force housed in the spine. Ascending and descending angels here to help in the cause of bringing heaven to earth.
I know it hurts, bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Turning Points and Transformations. This is Brian Rice from OFJ, the Order of the Friends of Yeshua. Just want you to remember that you are listening to the Way of Consciousness Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio, and also Turning Points and Transformations.org. So you can find this episode after this week, which is from December 19th to the 26th, you'll be able to find this episode for download and purchase for only 99 cents. That's at turningpointsandtransformations.org. You can find all your favorite episodes of Turning Points archived there for download. You can also try, then buy. Some of the older episodes are $2 a piece, but the new price for the episodes are 99 cents a piece, so there's no reason why you can't get them and have them forever and be able to listen to them in your iPods, and so on and so forth, basically to have ownership of the content and to listen to it at your definite convenience. That's what I was trying to say. So, what are we going to talk about today? Well, ending obsession now. How can we do that? I'm not talking about an overhaul or a complete cure of obsessive-compulsive disorder, but dealing with a wider problem, a bigger, more universal problem or phenomenon that we all deal with, and that's called attachment. Attachment. And we do all have obsessions, we do all have compulsions, but not to the extent that some people who are diagnosed with a very crippling diagnosis of obsessive-compulsive disorder, but we all can relate to obsessing over certain things, having thoughts reoccur, be very intrusive and or repetitive. Eckhart Tolle talks about the phenomenon of mental chatter, there being most of thought is repetitive and useless. So I am speaking along those terms today so we can all understand. Some people go through in a more horrid sense, in a more terror-driven sense, in a more phobic sense. But we will draw on some research, brain research, from Dr. Amen, not Amen, Dr. Amen, Daniel Amen, in the book Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, just to get some prescriptions for obsessional behavior, because it ultimately does stem from brain imbalances. But so there's scientific fact, there's scientific studies that show that we obsess for various reasons, and it's part of the brain. And part of the brain, when either active, overactive, or underactive, can cause us to do various things. So, anyways, from a yogic perspective, attachment is something we want to seek to overcome. We want to seek to be delivered from. We want to seek to be transformed from. We want to transcend it. Desire is the root. In the root of desire are samskaras, or actions or habit tendencies that we have coming into this life, previous from previous lives, if you believe that. But nonetheless, we have this certain tendency to act in a certain way or to think in a certain way. Some people would call that temperament in the mental health profession or the psychology profession. But psychological circles aside, we have ultimately, from day to day, millions and trillions of thoughts to deal with. And I don't know exactly how many minutes or how many thoughts we have per minute, but it's an awful lot. And how can we do that? Well, we want to still our mind. We want to be able to have a silent mind or no mind, have consciousness not identified with thought, as Eckhart Tolle defines no mind, the Buddhist concept of no mind, the Zen concept of no mind. Some people call this compulsive chatter that we hear in our heads the monkey mind. They call it that in the East. We'd call it the very mind that we think is normal, when in essence it's abnormal, spiritually, physically, on every level. So, let's take a moment and tune into higher frequencies, higher consciousness. Turn your gaze inward toward the third eye, toward the brow point between your eyebrows. Look upwards with your eyes closed, slightly to that point. You should feel some slight pressure. It's the optic nerve. And you're doing this to stimulate the pituitary gland. It's one way to activate the center associated with that gland, which is the Ajna chakra. And as I said, many people call it the third eye. So just look there and take some deep breaths, long deep breaths in through the nose and out through the nose. One of the things we want to do is to relax. So gaze into that point. And we often, to trigger certain biophysical effects, mental, spiritual, biophysical effects, we can breathe in through one nostril or the other, and this activates energy channels within our body. The lunar and solar channels correspond to each nostril, and depending on which nostril you breathe in through, you're activating either what's called the Ida or the Pingala, the lunar and solar channels respectively. The lunar channel is associated with breathing through the left nostril. The solar channel is associated with breathing through the right nostril. Why would we choose one over the other? When would we do it? Well, if we want to calm down, relax, focus, we can breathe through the left nostril by closing off our right nostril with our thumb from our right hand. And we're going to do that in just a minute. But keep the gaze inward. And there's reasons to also do right nostril breathing by closing off the left nostril. And that's to activate the more positive side, the positive polarity within, versus the negative receptive, more feminine channel of the Ida. We are both composed of male and female, positive and negative, yin and yang, dark and light, and all corresponding opposites. But in Kundalini Yoga, one of the things that I've heard it called before when breathing through the right nostril is the more activating channel that we're trying to get fired up. It's people refer to it as Kundalini coffee, so to speak. But we're going to start by dealing with the lunar channel. We're going to slow our thoughts down and work on the cooling element within us. So close off your right nostril with your right thumb. And inhale through the left nostril. Hold the breath in. And exhale through the left nostril. We're not doing alternate nostril breathing. You may know that. You may be familiar with that. We're not doing that right now. So we're just going to continue to breathe through the left nostril. keep going as you listen to the sound of my voice. What you should start to feel is an overwhelming sense of calm come over you, and your thoughts may begin to slow down and even disappear. This is a simple exercise you can do any time you are feeling frazzled, any time you want to slow down your thoughts. Continue for 30 more seconds. Keep the gaze inward towards the third eye, towards the brow point, slightly above the eyebrows. Feel that slight pressure within as you look up and in with your eyes closed. Now, if you want to get a boost of energy, sun energy, solar power, deactivating Yang channel within. You can close off the left nostril and breathe in through the right nostril. Let's try that to see what that feels like. And then we'll continue our discussion. Take your left thumb, close your left nostril, hold it closed. Keep listening to the sound of my voice as you're doing that. This exercise was said by the father of Kundalini Yoga in the West, Yogi Bhajan, to help with bipolar disorder as well as schizophrenic patients or schizophrenic individuals, helping them to organize their thoughts. It's a very good practice to do. It's very simple. I didn't mention what posture to assume, but you can either be sitting up in a chair with your feet flat on the ground, spine straight, chest out, chin tucked like a soldier at attention, slightly tucked. Or you can be sitting in a simple cross-legged position, which we would call in Kundalini Yoga, easy pose. So, continue with the right nostril breathing, just to get a feel of how that feels in contrast to what we just did a moment ago. Okay. And take a deep breath in and hold it. And exhale. Good. Very good. Great job. Okay. Obsession. Ending obsession. Well, there's yogic intervention that I can offer in addition to what we just have done to deal with controlling our thoughts or to bringing thoughts to a halt and to silencing the mind. We'll talk about the phenomenon of obsession, fixation, how it relates to compulsion, and also what we can do about it. Well, meditation is the number one subscription for dealing with thoughts onslaught of thoughts. But we ultimately need to understand the phenomenon behind obsession, which is attachment, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Attachment is a strong desire, a clinging, a seemingly self-grasping attitude or temperament, state of being, which is strongly identified with sense objects and or things, material desire is what it's called. And I said samskaras earlier, habit tendencies that we have. We have them as the result of karma. And karma can dictate a lot of things, and we need to burn some of that karma. And one way to deal with our karma is to meditate and to chant certain chants, which we won't do today, but there are plenty of interventions that Kundalini Yoga can give you, and there's many things and exercises and sets called kriyas that can help work on dealing with getting a hold of your desires or this desire energy within us. I've talked about it in previous shows. This desire energy is something that rules us, something that overpowers us. It's a gift. It's a gift. It is a gift from the divine, from the transcendent one. We have to learn how to harness this desire, as we talked about in the episode, The Actuality of Desire. And if you're interested in what we're talking about today, you can go back in the e-store at turningpointsandtransformations.org and go to Try Then Buy, that page in the right sidebar, and it says you can download the episodes. So that episode is archived for $2. Not bad. You can make a secure purchase for an instant download. And we dealt with in that the actuality of desire in our lives. Well, how do we deal with desires, with multiple desires, with an onslaught of desires, or the overwhelming power of desire energy as it flows through us? Well, any form of meditation or yogic practice will help to alleviate the moment-to-moment awareness. Now, the definition of yoga meditation, one that I like, I'm not aware of the source currently. I don't remember where I got it from, but I'm not claiming any credit over this statement. Yoga meditation is the process of cultivating and stabilizing the awareness of one's real nature through definite spiritual and psychophysical methods and laws by which the narrow ego, the flawed hereditary human consciousness, is displaced by the consciousness of the soul. So, our ego is ultimately what has the overwhelming power over us with the onslaught of desires. Desire, I said again, is a gift, a divine gift, is a desire energy that we need to learn how to direct in our lives. And speaking of it, and beginning to acknowledge it, we're starting the work that needs to be done. But meditation ultimately is the best subscription to an onslaught of thoughts, an onslaught of mental chatter, of obsessive thinking. There's a kriya, or a complete action, as kriya means, which is sort of like a poem in action, called Sat Kriya, which deals with obsessional behavior or compulsive behavior, and we might do that at the end. We'll see if we have time. It's something that you can do every day. It's something that I can teach you and you can do. So, what do we do with the chatter that we hear? Those thoughts that repeat, that come over and over and over and over again? I'm talking in the wide spectrum of all people here, because we all have these thoughts. They all lead us to do things, to spend, to buy, to acquire, to pursue, to obtain. It leads to what I called earlier self-grasping. And in the Gnostic tradition of Sophian nature, the Gnostic Sophian tradition, the non-dual Gnostic tradition that it is, Tal Malachi speaks of self-grasping as coming from that ego illusory demiurge within. The demiurge is equated with the ego, and the demiurge is that satanic force that is within. Something that we come to deal with on an everyday basis. We have this God potential, this amazing God potential within for Godhood. Not for the Godhood, but for Godhood. For the true self, for higher consciousness, for infinite consciousness, or our Sat Nam, our true identity. But the demiurge is in the Gnostic literature, the Gnostic scriptures, the Gnostic mythology, so to speak, represents the ego in our consciousness. So if I ever speak of it, that's what I'm referring to. And ultimately, it is this tendency to want to separate or get something outside of ourselves, something that we think will satisfy something that's lacking, that we perceive to be lacking within ourselves. That's where the operative nature of desire has its hold over us, as we think that something external is going to bring us happiness, it's going to bring us pleasure, ultimately, some fulfillment. And we do that and we transfer that to the spiritual life as well. And that's when it gets dangerous. That's when desire becomes a curse instead of a gift. And some people would use the word sin to describe excessive desires. I don't like to use that word. I think we're all sinless. We all make mistakes and we do things. But having desires are not sins in themselves, so to speak. Having a desire comes from the very essence of God, movement, moving as God current, God life within. The life force, the universal life force energy moving within. There's a circuitry that we're all connected to. And that we all have this circuitry within us. We're wired to transcend. We're wired to become, like it's said in Judeo-Christian scripture, ye are gods. We were made in the likeness of God, male, not just male and female, but to be godlike beings. In Gnostic literature, Gnostic theology, Gnostic mythology, that would be called being an aeon or an emanation of God, a holy idea, not idea with an I, idea with an E, I-D-E-A, So, that understanding comes from the idea that there is a fullness in heaven, and that fullness radiates out, and in gradations, the light that emanates out as beings, which I called aeons, and they each have contained within them the God essence, and as it goes further and further out towards matter, that light, that the denser becomes the emanation, the denser becomes the form. Now, what does that have to do with obsessions? I just wanted to point out that we are divine, that we are gods in the making. It might sound blasphemous to you, but it's in Christian scripture, for God's sakes. So, don't crucify me. Please, we crucify each other day to day. We crucify one another on a constant basis. We crucify ourselves unnecessarily. And the real meaning of the crucifixion was not just for Jesus' blood to come and to give us salvation, so to speak, but to show us what we do to ourselves and one another, how we torture ourselves and one another through the human condition. And that when identified with the God consciousness within us, the God self within us, the true self within us, we will rise, we will be risen, we will be identified with immortality. So it's as if the man Yeshua Jesus never died. Because he beat death, he showed that he could not be killed. The soul cannot be killed. And that's spoken of in the Bhagavad Gita as well, from Krishna to Arjuna, the devotee. Bhagavad Gita, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is a wonderful, beautiful scripture about, it's a dialogue between God consciousness and the devotee, the seeker, the soul seeker in this life. But getting back to obsession, we have fluctuations in our consciousness, in our mind, and these seeds, these fluctuations come from seeds which I called samskaras, habit tendencies from the past. We form this, our samskaras are ongoing, our samskaras tend to create thoughts that are contingent upon what we've thought in the past, what we've allowed to manifest in the past, behaviors we've allowed to manifest in the past, to dissolve the effects, the chronic effects of samskaras or habit tendencies in our life. It is to engage in a meditative practice. And I'm not going to advocate one form over the other, but yoga is time-tested, so isn't Zen practice, Tai Chi, and other forms of spiritual science, meditation. I urge you, more than anything, to take up meditation for calmness, to control the mind currents. Yoga ultimately means yoga ultimately is the control over the fluctuations of the mind or the currents in the mind, stilling those currents or fluctuations or waves of thought in the mind. So yoga is not a religion. Yoga is a way of life. Yoga is a way to approach life. Yoga means union. uniting ourselves, excuse me, to our truest self, to our highest self, to our wisdom within, to take control of our being, to really, in essence, to control the machine, nature, and allow the God essence to shine through that machine that we use, that of the human body and the supercomputer of the mind. Any form of practice, mindfulness, will induce a greater control over the thought waves in the mind. That's a relief. But for some of us, it sometimes intensifies what we tend to think about, what we tend to obsess about. It brings to the surface things that are somewhat painful at times. You ever notice that after you meditate, you might be in a bad mood for a little while? It's because you're clearing subconscious debris. When your subconscious is overloaded or overflowing, images can come forth, and they can be persistent, nagging, very nagging. And we have to allow that stuff to clear. It's good to journal or dialogue with that in something called active imagination, a Jungian, Carl Jungian term from Jungian psychology. But giving a voice to the things that come from the subconscious and to dialogue with them and to objectify them are one way to take notice and to deal with our obsessions. But, my goodness, we have to learn to shut out the outside world and go inside. We have to interiorize. It's called pratyahara. Withdrawal from the senses. Sense activity is the number one culprit in excessive and obsessive thinking and thought activity. We're trying to compute, trying to determine what each sense stimuli sends to us, what each sense stimuli does to us, what it means, rather, what it means to us individually right now, here in the moment. And there's all this mental activity going on both unconsciously and consciously. And it's very depleting when you're totally, totally identified with the senses and only the senses. Paramahansa Yogananda, in his interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita, speaks of one of the characters existing as a citizen in the body. And he calls this thing, this one person, King Material Desire. One of the main characters in the Bhagavad Gita. He says this is an aspect of ourselves identified with the ego. So being identified with the ego instead of being in divine alignment, divine oneness, puts us at risk for things such as hectic, frantic, compulsive, obsessive, overwhelming, very consuming thought patterns. So how do we transcend the ego? Again, through meditation. And I'm not going to advocate one over the other. I gave you a few tools at the beginning to take control of your thoughts. And I might do Satkriya to show you how to alleviate obsessional or compulsive behavior. But right now. I want us to turn our gaze inward again, like we did earlier. Look up towards the third eye. You should feel slight pressure with your eyes. That's up. That's the optic nerve that you're hitting and stimulating the pituitary gland. One form of obsessional thinking is being stuck in negativity. And I want to give you a breath that you can do, a pranayama, which means breath control, life force control, that you can do. So sit up straight, spine straight, chest out, tuck your chin like a soldier at attention, lengthen from the base of the spine upwards. Bring your hands to your knees and touch the index fingers to the thumbs, just the tips, and extend the other three fingers straight out. Raise your palms slightly up towards the sky or the roof, wherever you are. And what I want you to do is a breath called Kapalbhati Pranayama. I think I've taught it before on this show. But this helps get rid of negativity, negative thinking, negative energy. Just one form of obsession, things that we're obsessed with. It's a slight inhalation, then a powerful exhalation, and it sounds something like this. Why don't we try that? So, take a deep breath in. Deep breath out, all through the nose. And let's begin and do it for 30 seconds. Going. It's a short staccato breath. If you're not clear on it, it's a short staccato breath and then a more powerful exhalation through the nose, in through the nose, out through the nose. This is very purifying. And you can take a deep breath in, hold it, and then exhale through the nose. Why don't we learn Sat Kriya? We're going to do it in a muffled way. I'm not in a position where I can belt out the mantra that I want you to do. But the essence of it is sitting on your heels. If you find it hard to sit on your heels, this is called rock pose. Put a cushion or a pillow between your heels and your buttocks. And interlace your fingers, the first three fingers, the last three fingers. Interlace them together. Point your index fingers up. This is a mudra, or a position, which influences the flow of energy in the body. And press the thumbs together. We're going to raise our arms overhead with our arms over our ears. So up like a lightning bolt, straight up. Just listen for a moment. Sat Kriya does many things. It not only activates the chakras, balances the glandular system, but it helps raise Kundalini high and quickly. Kundalini, again, is awareness. It's not a snake in your spine. It's not an occult force. It's a natural, inherent energy, that desire energy within us, that evolutionary energy within us, that for most people is dormant, but it's there to be unlocked, uncoiled. We want to uncoil our energy, and we're going to do that. So sit up straight, spine straight, lengthen from the spine, slightly tuck the chin, arms hugging the ears, index fingers pointing upward, and we're going to chant out loud the word Sat, S-A-T, and Nam. Now the Sat would be on a deep, powerful belly contraction. And we're going to say Sat as we tighten what's called the root lock, which is the navel point, which is 2 to 3 fingers below the belly button, which you can find right now. And then the rectum and the sex organ. This sounds weird, you might say. This sounds really weird. Well, this is called a bandha, a body lock. And it's a way to distribute energy, and it's a way to seal off our breath, seal off life force from external stimuli, and distribute this energy throughout our system. So, when we say Sat, we're going to say Sat. And then short, and a little more softer, Nam. Sat. Nam. And as we say Sat, remember to pull that root lock upwards. It might take some time to get used to it, but doing this for 3 minutes a day, multiple times a day, can help deal with obsessional behaviors. So get in the position I told you to get into, sitting in rock pose on your knees, and we're going to try it. Join in with me as you can. Sat Nam. 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 Take a deep breath in. Hold it. Suspend the breath. Pull up on the root lock. Channel the energy up the spine, seeing it spiral up, 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 and around the spine, and release. Now if you can, lay on your back in what's called corpse pose, Shavasana, and you'll have your palms facing upward at your sides, fingertips curled, feet about hip width apart. You always want to lay down in Shavasana and corpse pose after you've done Sat Kriya. I know we only did it for a very short time, but that's a general rule. So if you can lay down, lay down and rest and rejuvenate. Now, I mentioned Dr. Amen earlier, and we were talking about obsessions from, we were going to talk about them from a medical standpoint. Well, when we look into worry and obsessiveness, from his perspective, here's just some facts to consider. Obsessive compulsive disorder affects somewhere between 2 and 4 million people in the United States, he says. This disorder, almost without exception, dramatically impairs a person's functioning, and often affects the whole family. Can go unnoticed by people in the outside world, but not by those who live with the obsessive compulsive person. Now, just to give you an overview, the hallmarks of this disorder are obsessions or reoccurring disgusting or frightening thoughts or compulsions, behaviors that a person knows make no sense, but feels compelled to do anyway. Now, the obsessive thoughts are usually senseless and repugnant. They may involve repetitive thoughts of violence, such as killing one's child, contamination, such as becoming infected by shaking hands, or doubt, as having hurt someone in a traffic accident, even though no such accident occurred. The more a person tries to control these thoughts, the more powerful they become. Everyone's heard of people compulsively washing their hands or checking locks and things like that. But the intensity of OCD varies widely. Some people have it mildly. We all do, I think, to a certain extent. We have some irrational thoughts and behaviors connected to them. The more serious forms for the medical discussion is something that can cause a person to become housebound for years. Now, what I wanted to share with you is that, as Dr. Amen includes, exciting research in these past few years has shown a biological pattern associated with OCD. Brain SPECT studies, it's a form of imaging, they have shown increased blood flow in what's called the cingulate system, along with increased activity in the area of the brain called the basal ganglia, often the anxiety component of the problem. For most people, this psychiatric illness involves the treatment of medication. There's many forms obsessive compulsive behavior can take. Hypochondria, compulsive shopping, pathological gambling, addictive disorders, and eating disorders. He gives case studies. It's not what we want to go through. It's not for our purpose of our conversation today. People get locked into patterns, basically. And we want to get unstuck. We want to heal that cingulate system. The prescriptions that he gives allows people to shift their attention from one thing to another, an idea to an idea, an issue to issue, rather than getting stuck on something. When dysfunctional, we have a tendency to get locked into negative thoughts or behaviors. People with forms of OCD have trouble seeing options in situations. And healing this part of the brain, the cingulate system, involves training the mind to see options and new ideas. So, for cingulate system prescriptions, Dr. Amen says, notice when you get stuck. Distract yourself and come back to the problem later. 2. Think through answers before doing what most people with this disorder do, automatically saying no. When you feel stuck, write out options and solutions. And you should seek the counsel of others when you feel stuck. And one thing you can do, which is something I would subscribe as well, I'm not a doctor, prescribe rather, is memorize and recite the Serenity Prayer when you're bothered by repetitive thoughts. And we're going to say that Serenity Prayer together here as we end. It's repeated daily by millions of people around the world, especially people in the 12-step programs. It's a beautiful reminder, Dr. Amen says, that there are limits to what we can do in life, and we need to respect that. Many people find it helpful to repeat this prayer every time they are bothered by repetitive negative thoughts. He recommends that we memorize it at least the first 4 lines of the prayer and change it as it's needed to fit your own beliefs. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with you in the next. Now you can ultimately change the part about Jesus did with the sinful world. But one thing in talking about Yeshua, Jesus, is accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. That's very hard to do. Suffering. We did a show called Choose Not to Suffer. You can find that on turningpointsandtransformations.org as well. We do suffer. We do allow the subconscious to rule our behaviors, thoughts, and actions. And when we're ruled by the subconscious, we're going to suffer misery. It's a guarantee. So we want to work and live out of the conscious mind. We want to bring things to consciousness, bring presence to consciousness. Be present to presence. So the Serenity Prayer is one thing you can do. But seeking the help of others is also somewhat of a good thing to do as well. To allow others to help you with the unsticking process. Just having an objective person to talk to. But the option of writing out options and solutions when you feel stuck is something good to do. Such as, well, when you're feeling stuck on a thought, it's helpful to write it down. Just to write it down, to get it down on paper. It helps you to get it out of your head. When you see a thought on paper, it makes it easier to deal with it in a rational way, Dr. Amon says. When repetitive thoughts cause sleeping problems, keep a pen and paper near your bed to write them out. And after you write out a thought that has gotten stuck, generate a list of things you can do about it and things you can't do about it. He gives the example of if you are worried about a situation at work, such as whether you get a promotion, to do the following. Write out the thought, right, I'm worried about whether or not I'll get the promotion at work. 2, make a list of the things that you can do about the worry, such as, I can do the best job I can at work. I will continue to be reliable, hardworking, and creative. I'll make sure the boss knows I desire the promotion. In a confident, not a bragging way, I will make sure the boss knows about my contributions to the company. And then 3, he says, make a list of the things you cannot do about the worry, such as, I cannot make the decision for the boss. I cannot want the promotion any more than I do. I cannot will the promotion to happen. Worrying will not help. I cannot make the promotion happen, although I do have lots of influence on the process by my attitude and performance. It helps you to become more realistic and kind with yourself. But discussing the worries, fears, and repetitive behaviors that you have with others is often helpful. So don't go at it alone. Whether you suffer from OCD or not, you don't have to go at it alone. Well, that's all I wanted to share today. But ending obsessiveness, ending obsessions, is a lifetime. It's a lifetime process. But use that writing exercise and do Sat Kriya. And do some of the left and right nostril breathing. These are ways you can deal with thoughts, desires, powerful desire energy within you, and the trapped and unwanted thoughts that may come. So I want you to remember that you have from December 19th, today, to December 26th to listen to free and to download free this episode, End Obsession Now. You're on Turning Points and Transformations, and you can find that at turningpointsandtransformations.org, right on the main page. There's a link under the MP3 player to listen to it. It says download this episode now. It should be available, and I want you to take a full advantage of it. After that, it'll be available for purchase. Thank you. And God bless.
Way of nonviolence, it's the only path to start the revolution of everlasting peace. Become a messiah, because the world is insane. It's no time to be passive. Take decisive action. Receive the new dispensation of universal priesthood, of the Pentecostal flame. No religious boundaries.
I know it hurts. Bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Realization of our oneness. Heal the separation by going out as sheep among wolves, treading on scorpions, filled with fiery light, working day and night to bring home the lost and broken, bring them back into the fold of the fullness of heaven, the kingdom within. Biomystical enlightenment, awakening in this new age. Be your own sage.
I know it hurts. Bear in the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Don't fall back asleep. The time of now is crucial to spread the holy virus of God union, the bliss of God communion, and sweet samadhi. Don't forget nirvana, cosmic conscious for all sons and daughters of the absolute, your one and true identity. Pray for your brothers and sisters with the family of the Most High.
I know it hurts. Bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.
Can't live in a bubble. Come out of solitude and sow some seeds on fertile ground. Light the world on fire with the Holy Spirit. Some call it Shakti or the life force housed in the spine. Ascending and descending angels here to help in the cause of bringing heaven to earth.
I know it hurts. Bearing the burden and all the pain of humanity, being one step away from self-destruction. We've all been there. But I'm here to tell you, you are a savior. And only love will mend. Only love will bind. Only love will cause change. So transcend the animal in you. It's time to build the superhumanity of God-realized beings.